And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Pleased to be with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Suddenly it is December, and you know, we were talking about this over the past couple of weeks, with Thanksgiving being so very late this year, the latest possible date that it can be on the 28th of November, that, you know, Thanksgiving weekend was going to come and go, and then all of a sudden it was going to be Christmas time. Was not quite, but it's only about 3 weeks now until Christmas. There is 1 week less time this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas compared to last year. We're going to be talking about some Christmas musical showings for you on the program today. There's lots of stuff happening over the next few weeks as we move toward the Christmas holiday. A little bit later on the program, we're going to be chatting with a young man from this area, Western Pennsylvania. His name is Chris Jameson. He was a contestant on The Voice on NBC television. It's their reality voice competition a few years back. And he's going to be performing later this week down at the Strand Theater in Zelianople. So we'll meet and talk with Chris a little bit later on the program today. But first, here in the studio with us, Ralph Christie Jr. Ralph, good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Same here. Thank you.
And also visiting with us is David English, who is the founder and the director of the group Circle of Friends. David, good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Great to be here.
Well, the reason that we have David here, Ralph, is because Circle of Friends is going to be performing here in Butler, right?
They are. And this coming Sunday, December the 8th, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in downtown Butler here. And we're so excited to have them back. They've been with us for a Christmas concert and I believe a spring concert. So it's great to have them back with us again.
And that is this coming Sunday.
It is.
December the 8th. Yeah. 7 o'clock in the evening.
7 o'clock, mm-hmm. Yes.
Will there be an admission charge?
We will be taking up an offering, and we are giving the offering to Katie's Kitchen, which is a local place where people can come and eat, and that's at St. Mark's Church, mm-hmm. Sponsored by St. Mark's and Trinity Lutheran Church. And we have lots of donations come in, food, money, and it's a great, great program. I think they just celebrated an anniversary, like maybe the 25th year, a couple years ago, of Katie's Kitchen. So it's been very successful and needed.
Mm-hmm. Is your church involved in the community dinner program, do you know?
Yes. We have Thursday evenings, which I think that's when they do the Katie's mm-hmm. Kitchen.
There are several churches in the immediate downtown Butler area that offer a community dinner, a hot meal for the needy and the less fortunate. And, you know, there's one every weeknight. It's at a different church.
Right. Yeah. We're very fortunate.
Yeah. But I think St. Mark's was one of the first ones to be involved in
that. I believe you're correct.
Well, let's say hello to David English, and I say hello again because we chatted few years ago. I don't remember exactly when, David.
It was
do you?
About 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And yes, when we were coming to Butler, St. Mark's, and had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about A Circle of Friends for our listeners who may not be familiar with your group.
So, A Circle of Friends is a nonprofit that a group of us formed in 2009. So we're 10 years old now, and you know, I'm just going to refer to what Ralph was saying about Katie's Kitchen. It's things like that, those kind of beneficiary events for community that drive this group. So whatever is ever collected at any of our events, 100% of it goes towards that event. We are totally self-sufficient because we ask the members to contribute to pay for what our needs are, which is music and instrumentation and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I can proudly say, as the group has grown from about 18 to 20 of us in 2009, and those were all singers. We didn't have a handbell group at the time, and then that came the next year, actually, and that's grown. With the singers, of which there are approximately 70, 18 bell ringers, and I think 16 musicians slash instrumentalists this year.
Wow.
We're over 100. And there are not very many venues, St. Mark's, with notwithstanding, because it's plenty big for us to actually put our instruments in. But it is one of those things. It's been a joy to watch grow. But what I was going back to say was, I can probably say that after 10 years, we have that group through 6 concerts in December and 6 concerts in May every year, has raised over $200,000 for a variety of groups, like Katie's Kitchen.
Wow.
And Katie's Kitchen is one of those things that, when we heard about it, you know, most of the group was from the southern end of the county and or beyond. And so we were not aware of it. So it was really good to know that great things like that are happening in a church that we're going to be going to sing at and support. And again, it's that kind of thing that makes our members come to rehearsal every Tuesday evening starting in August, late August, and learn the music, and which the singers memorize their music. So you won't be coming to see a choir sing with a formal choir come to sing with music. At all. So I hope that doesn't disappoint the listeners that may decide they want to come. because I believe that music should be visual as well as audio. So it's on our faces.
So you're going to have a whole bunch of people there. There are
yes.
A lot of churches wouldn't be big enough to hold you.
As it turns out, one of our first churches, I remember back in the day, was Conequenessing, a little Methodist church. And lovely church. Lovely people. And they were so gracious to host us, and but it became very clear that we definitely had issues. I think it's the second year, so we had outgrown. And I miss that, because there is a sense when a group is smaller of camaraderie and relationships are easier to bind and build. However, in an effort to keep the group smaller, in a sense, and that feeling, been able to create 3 ensemble groups, a cappella ensemble groups. So you will hear that when you come to St. Mark's, a men's group, a women's group, and then a mixed group of about 24 people with the mixed group. And then the larger choir does a number of things together that it's great to be able to do with a larger choir. Mm-hmm. Most of it is contemporary, contemporized music of the period now, but it will be, so many of them will be familiar, just a lot of them are new remakes of. And for the audience that is listening and wishes to come, and I hope that's every single one of you, you know, if you want to have fun, you want to come to St. Mark's on Sunday evening, because the audience will be able to participate throughout the concert. And actively, and I shouldn't say much more, but you might want to brush up your lyrics to the 12 Days of Christmas. Just saying.
Just a little hint.
We're going to have a lot of fun, and we hope that that all of you want to come and be part of that.
We're talking with David English. He's the founder of A Circle of Friends, a very popular group from our region. Started about 10 years ago, and as David said, it's really grown. And they're presenting a Christmas concert at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran. It's in downtown Butler, corner of Jefferson and Washington Streets,
right.
One block off Main. It's right in the middle of town. And it's this coming Sunday evening, which is December the 8th already, believe it or not. Wow.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock. And this is part, Ralph Christie, Ralph's the director of music at St. Mark's. This is part of a series of musical concerts that you do throughout the year there at St. Mark's, right?
It is. We started these probably five or six years ago when St. Mark's had their anniversary, and we decided to do a project a month, and most of them ended up being a lot of music programs. Mm-hmm. They were so successful that we thought, well, I wonder if we want to continue this, especially for the downtown people. So we try to do at least two programs a year. We have done three, but that's pushing it. But all kinds of music. We just had gospel, contemporary music, maybe a month ago, with and also some country music, too. Big hit. Everybody just loved that. And we do. We try to include an organ concert because we just had the organ redone. So we want to make sure that those 2,000 pipes are really making a joyful noise in the community. And they're very successful also.
I've heard the organ at St. Mark's, and it is a magnificent instrument. Now, the Circle of Friends, David English, singers, but you have bell ringers too.
Yes, and again, I kind of have to... check my pride when I talk about them, because it's a group that has matured very nicely into terms of playing some difficult level of handbells ringing. And so, you know, the first thing I want to say, it's not your mother's handbell, church handbell choir that you might be used to mm-hmm. hearing. We'll be adding some instrumentation to some of it. But I direct, and we have I have a co-director, Carol Jameson, who actually is the music director at Glade Run Presbyterian, and she does a fine job with the handbells, and has been a big help to me. But one of the pieces, actually two of them, are from a series with the Raleigh Ringers, which is a well-known group, and we've done them before, and I tend to repeat some of the Raleigh things every 3 or 4 years, and I don't know if we've done this piece in these pieces in at St. Mark's before. But An Angel Came Down, and then Sarajevo, Christmas 1994, they will lift the roof, particularly the second one. And when I say that, they're powerful pieces that you need a handbell choir that has mastered some the handbells to be able to do that. So I think there are 18 ringers or so, and... And the ages range. I think our youngest is maybe 15, and I think I have an 80-year-old playing bells, and they're faithful, and they come, and we just have a great time.
So. I've never rung bells. I admire people that can do it. It always looks to me like you have to stay so very, very focused.
You do.
Because if you let your mind drift for a nanosecond, you're going to be lost.
You're
going
to be lost, is right. And unlike vocals, voice singing, where the bench can be deep with a dozen altos or sopranos, et cetera, there's only you on that part.
That's right. You got the B flat, yeah, and nobody else does.
Nobody
right?
else does. So you better show up, and you better ring that bell.
Are there lots of... of what we would think of as Christmas holiday classics that have been arranged for bells?
Yes, there are. And one that I can, and of course, I always say, I never want to bore the audience and just do, something that they've heard before. So it's usually an arrangement of, and there's one called To the World Joy, which of course is Joy to the World. But it is clever in how the bells use a variety of different techniques to create it, and it moves. There is an O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which, typically you think of being a rather slow, and I don't want to say dirgy, because I respect that music, especially for organ and singing, but on the handbells, anything goes, and this mm-hmm. thing is as fast as it can be. And I think to watch the bells, which... I believe that music is visual. To watch those bells making the sounds that they do and the moves they do, you'll be most entertained with their O Come, Emmanuel. We have a piece called Greensleeves Rhapsody, and there is a To Die For clarinet solo within. So we have a clarinetist, Bill Brewer, and a bass part with it. And it is just amazing. and they've done such a great job. So, you know, bell pieces are kind of created for, they call it level one, level two, three, four, five. And level one would be the easiest. This group is playing at a level four, level five level now. So that's why it's quite interesting to create the music and then obviously share it. So I think no one will be bored with the bells.
Well, as you mentioned, it's not, and this is certainly not to denigrate any church choir bell ringers, because there are some churches that, that have them, and that's very good. But somebody clued me in a couple of years ago to a group. They said, you got to check this out on YouTube. And I can't quite think of the name of the group. It was something like Tintinabulation, you know,
yes,
the Edgar Allan Poe thing. Is that their real name?
Mm-hmm.
They said, you got to check out this group. By the way, what a great name for a bell choir, Tintinabulation. And I did check it out on YouTube. I was just blown away.
Yep.
I mean, these people are, they go crazy.
They do. And the hardest thing we have to do is master the art of smiling and playing the bell sometimes, because the concentration.
I told you, I would have, even if I tried it, I have a furrowed brow. I'd be a bit concentrated. We're talking about A Circle of Friends. Do the singers ever sing at the same time the bells are playing? Is there ever a
combo
thing?
This year there is, it's actually what we call an all sing. So the audience will be invited, and the bells play during that with the singers and the instrumentation. So that's a fairly, you know, big piece, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Christmas Hallelujah. And I believe otherwise this year I don't have that, mostly because I want to save what sanity I have left, because one thing that I am not is I admit this all the time, and I am not a trained musician. I just always have the largest mouth in the group, so that's why I'm the creative director.
Now, wait a minute, you're not a trained, but you started A Circle of Friends for a love of singing, David?
Just for the love of singing, it's a passion, and I would, unlike Ralph, I would starve if I were a musician. So I know that doesn't sound good, like, well, do we really want to come? But I have to tell you, there's so many musical people within the group. And again, I do have working knowledge, and I won't say I don't know what I'm doing, but I have been able to develop four other actual directors for the choir. And you'll actually see five people directing the choir. So they each have their different touch. And I did that because several years ago I was diagnosed with lung cancer, and I was unable to breathe almost on my own, let alone do something with my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave up a lot of that directing. And that's, again, the choir grew, and because of it, it was a great thing.
Wow.
And I admire these people, and they're all musicians, as it turns out, the directors. This year we have an instrumental director, Tom Anthony, who taught for years at Seneca Valley in instrumental in the middle school system, and he's made my job so much easier, and he's at it. So we have brass, we have woodwinds, we have strings. Certainly percussion, guitar, bass, and it's such a nice variety. Yet, I'm withdrawing. I'm not. I'm not as actively directing everything, and I think it was crazy when that's what I was doing. So I'm enjoying it more.
What a great sound, Christmas time. I like a little brass at Christmas, Ralph, and the bells are great at Christmas, too.
Right. Correct, yeah. And this is quite a program. It's a two-hour-long program. And in the past, I don't know if I want to give anything away here, but they also add hats and all kinds of things to...
Yes. And some of you in the audience may be wearing a few things as well, with the opening. So you don't want to be late, is what I'm saying. You don't want to be late, because we'll start on time, and we will have a lot of fun. Now, that being said, the program is divided into secular music and then sacred. And I have to tell you, at Christmas time especially, 90% of it is sacred music. So the secular at the beginning is, while it is respectful, it is fun, and as the holiday should be. So we will, you know, we'll experience that together. But we'll take you on a journey through what would typically be an Advent to Christmas season, without preaching as much as just the music.
A Circle of Friends will be performing this coming Sunday evening, December the 8th, 7 o'clock at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Butler. David English is the founder and the director of A Circle of Friends. The members of the group are from all different walks of life?
As it turns out, they are.
I mean, we don't have any professional singers in there. Maybe we do. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, there are probably a dozen soloists throughout, so you'll hear some great voices. Some of the musicians are, some of them teach for a living. Yeah, so we do have some professionals. But it is a non-audition choir. And so, you know, that is something that has been kind of in... something that we build it around. It's not about this being the very best choir ever. I will tell you, they're good, and they've come a long way. But there's always somebody who maybe just moves their mouth a little bit and doesn't sing much. I had a gentleman join this year, and I think he's from the Butler area, actually. An older gentleman, and he said, "I do a lot of humming. Is that okay?" I'm like, "It's fine. It's fine, Clayton. Hum." And the reason why is because when you just look at the name, A Circle of Friends, we're that first. And that's important. So we've been fortunate to grow where I can do some things that are a little more difficult with the smaller group, the ensembles that I talked about. And they'll be a cappella. We're doing a pentatonics piece with the larger group. When I chose that, one of my directors said, "Have you lost your mind? I mean... We have from age 21 to my mother will be 90 next month, and so everything in between, people who work, people who are retired, and
you know pentatonics, Ralph?
Yes,
and that's got to be a challenge.
Well, it is. And it's "O Come All Ye Faithful," and it's percussion underneath it, just a heavy djembe, and I gotta tell you, I thought, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna have to work on this more than anything else." No, that choir has done it extremely well because I think they appreciate doing something that's challenging. Mm-hmm. If we don't challenge them, we're going to bore them. I'm going to bore the audience. We won't do that. And they also, I mean, the pentatonics are popular. So if you are a fan of, you'll recognize that, and you might even get a chuckle out of such a large group doing it.
I have a couple of their CDs. I know their stuff. We're talking with David English, the founder of A Circle of Friends, in concert this coming Sunday evening at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church. So you have a large group of singers. Is it still break down in the traditional soprano, alto,
yes,
tenor, bass?
Yes, it does. And a lot of people who come, since it's non-audition, say, "Well, I don't know what I am." So, you know, I listen a little bit and then make some suggestions. And but I will tell you, men are always in short supply in music groups because I don't know why. Whether we haven't taught music along the way to men as much as women, or have the appreciation. But this year, I've been as low as two basses. I think I have 9 or 10 basses this year. What a difference that makes in undergirding the rest of the choir, and they're good. And so when we do the men's piece, I think there's 8 men singing. It's actually a barbershop that we're going to do 2 quartets together. The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. It's just the coolest thing that we're able to do that. And everybody loves men, to see men singing. And it's an a cappella event as well. So
a cappella, that means no music.
No music. No music. And it's just,
they get a pitch and then that's it.
They get a pitch and away they go. And yeah, so I'm actually rehearsing the small groups tonight at my house. We usually rehearse at St. Peter's Reformed Church in Zelianople, but I wanted it at my house because I wanted to get them in a tight space where they can just listen to one another. Because the art of a cappella is not just It looks easy, maybe, but it's actually listening to one another.
Absolutely.
To make sure you can keep the pitch and also the dynamics. You know, a large group such as the entire choir can make a lot of noise, meaning big sound. But I think the most difficult thing is for a large choir to make a small sound. And so for those that are going to be coming, which, again, I hope it's all of you, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to hear what this choir can do on the quiet side. Not necessarily, and again, we take you through Advent, so you'll understand the progression. When the celebration occurs of the birth, boy, we let it out. And there's some rocking pieces, so it's a variety. But the small sometimes sets the stage, and I think that's where emotions come from.
Really good international choirs. Cambridge Singers, some others, if you've ever heard their work, that's when they're really impressive, when you realize that's 100 people there and they're almost whispering,
yes.
You know, and then they come out with a big forte. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and it's not easy for them because that involves teaching people, again, non-audition, how to breathe, how to support, how to create that so that it's... and then balance it with instrumentation and everything else. So.
And did you say that your choir memorizes everything? They don't
yes.
sing the music?
They memorize everything.
That's phenomenal.
And again...
2 hours program it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. And we have a system we kind of push them through. And of course, the new ones come and say, what? No music? Because I'll just say, okay, we're going to do that without music now. And I start that in September, you know, when they learn one easy piece, as I would call it, first. And they're suddenly realizing, I can do this. Because newer people, and we've had an influx this fall of about, 10 new people or so. The looks on their faces. But then I remind them, you know, it's not just about the music. Because, you know, this is a performance. And let's make sure that people understand what it is we're trying to message here.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at, you know this, Ralph, from your work with the Sing Hosanna. Broadway musicals, they don't use music. They memorize all that stuff.
Yes, they do.
You can do it if you try. How do you pick your stuff?
Yeah, so that's...
I mean, there's a vast repertoire if you're talking about putting a Christmas concert together. The thing is, folks, if you... You know, there are familiar Christmas carols, but you could take something that is very well known, Adeste Fidelis, for example, and if you're singing in four-part harmony with a big choir, it sounds totally different from what you might think of as a trite, you know, Christmas song that you sing by yourself.
The richness of the human voice is amazing, and the sounds that can be made... certainly alone, but as you build with other people. And so I keep that in mind. Listen, when I'm choosing music, which, of course, for Christmas starts for me in June, July, in earnest, and then I have to order it and get it here because that's important
mm-hmm.
That they have it in their hands when we begin the last Tuesday of August. You know, I think about my keyboardist because some things are just so great on the keyboard, meaning... I want the audience to hear that delightful. But I also then need to have, you know, good writing for the harmonies that the voices are singing. And then I look at instrumentation, orchestration, to make sure that we either could cover that now or that we can do it without if we don't have the orchestra. And then, of course, I break the music into, for Christmas, the... early Advent, which is, you know, the anticipation. And then I break it into the nativity, which is at the manger. And then we break it into the birth, the actual event, which becomes joyous. And then if there's any that really strike me as an epiphany kind of event to make the announcement, we'll do that. So, you know, kind of my upbringing in church music has guided my choosing for Christmas in particular.
I understand that. Well, the concert is this Sunday. Ralph Christie, go over the particulars again for listeners who may have joined us a little bit late here.
This coming Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, December the 8th, the concert will be held at St. Mark's Lutheran Church on West Jefferson Street in the city of Butler here. If you want to email the church for information, stmarksbutler.org. We are taking up an offering to benefit Katie's Kitchen. It's going to be a joyous celebration and a great worship time also.
Yeah, certainly put you in the proper frame of mind for the coming holiday. David English, good to see you again. Nice to have you.
It's great to be here. I really appreciate Ralph reaching out and asking us to come to St. Mark's. And St. Mark's has been a wonderful host, and it's a great space to have sound in. So if for some reason you haven't been there, you need to. And I think it will bring much joy to your season, the beginning of your season especially, because it's meant for that first and foremost. So.
Terrific. Well, nice to see the two of you. And
see you.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks to you, Dave. Thanks.
Okay. We'll take a break. Be back with more of the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Shopping for a mortgage? Don't just compare the mortgage rates. At Armco Credit Union, they'll not only offer a competitive rate, but they may be able to save you money with lower fees and closing costs. Whether you're looking for a VA, FHA, or conventional loan, they're here to help guide you through the mortgage process so you can make the best decision for your situation. Call today, 724-284-2020. Don't have time to call or visit? Apply for a mortgage online at armcocu.com. Like them on Facebook and be the first to learn about their promotions or events. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. And nice to have you with us, by the way, folks. If you're joining us a little bit late today, that's fine. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our next guest is Chris Jameson, a Western Pennsylvania native and a singer-songwriter, who's going to be presenting some holiday performances a little bit later this week. First of all, Chris, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to have you with us.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, some folks might recognize your name and say, oh, Chris Jameson. Is that the same guy that was on The Voice on TV?
Yep.
And the answer is yes.
Yes, it is. Huh? Very same guy. Yeah, that was back in my wife and I were actually in the car last night, and she had said, how long ago was that? And in December, it'll be 5 years. So 5 years ago, I did that, finished in third. I prefer to say second runner-up. I think it sounds better sometimes. But, yeah, that's been it was a life-changing experience and one that I didn't anticipate having, didn't ever foresee something like that occurring in my life. A little kid from Western PA, Pittsburgh, never saw that as being an option. But through different events, it kind of ended up where it ended up, and I'm blessed.
I didn't realize that The Voice had even been on that long.
Yeah. Mm. They're on season 17, I think, or 18.
Oh, wow.
So they turn them around twice a year, so it's a quick thing. But yeah, it was incredible.
Well, we want to talk about a little bit about Chris's background, but just in case you're listening in on the car radio and you're going to have to be leaving us before we wrap up here today, I want to go over the information about Chris's shows coming up later this week, right?
Yes, December 5th and 6th at the Strand Theater. The 5th, the show will start at 7. On the 6th, it starts at 7:30. Tickets are online on thestrandtheater.org. And that's been a venue that I've played a handful of times now. It's one that, especially for a Christmas show like this, trying to create that whole family-friendly environment and having multiple generations come to the show, I wanted to make sure everyone is comfortable, everyone is seated, everyone is able to enjoy the evening, and it's turned out to be one of my favorite shows of the year. It's very family-friendly, and I'm looking forward to the third. This will be the third one we've done. So.
And that is this Thursday and Friday,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday of this week at the Strand in Zelianople. For folks who have never been there, that is a... Well, it was formerly a movie theater,
yeah.
But it was reconverted through the effort of community groups down there. It took a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And it is a very intimate live performance theater right now. You are close up to the action when
you're
seeing a performance, whether it's a play or a concert at the Strand.
I think that's what's great about it, though, too, is it is very close and intimate, but it makes the show more of a conversation and less of, you know, I'm a performer and you are a member of the audience. It makes it a very communicative. Is that the word? Communicative. Yeah, that makes sense. It promotes that kind of atmosphere, and I'm happy to be able to be able to do a show there, and it's beautiful.
I know there are some really, really big name entertainers who have been there since that renovation was completed. Jack Jones has performed there. The late Debbie Reynolds, who just died a year or so ago. And they raved about it.
Yeah.
Raved about the place. Strandtheater.org, by the way, is their website if you're looking for more information. And can you get tickets on the website?
Yep, you get them on their website. And they have got a bunch of events on the front as far as what's coming up and everything. So it'll be right there on the front. Grab tickets. I think we may be sold out Friday, but Thursday there's tickets available. So jump on those. But yeah, it'll be a fun night. We'll do a lot of traditional Christmas songs, but also kind of deliver them in a new kind of fresh way. So there's something for everyone.
There is a tradition of holiday shows around here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the late B.E. Taylor?
I'm very familiar with B.E. Taylor.
Yeah,
I grew up going to his shows.
Oh, really?
And that was kind of the inspiration for this Christmas show. It was something my family did, whether we went to Heinz Hall or whether we came up here to one of his acoustic shows, whatever it was. I think every year we went to it. And for me, being a kid growing up and looking at the stage and seeing this guy up there, not just make incredible music, but create an atmosphere, an environment where everyone felt comfortable, everyone was able to just enjoy the music, enjoy the message that he had to share, the true meaning of Christmas. And it was very family-oriented, and it's what inspired me to one day want to do a show, a Christmas show of my own. And so I'm grateful for the kind of the impact that he's had on this city, because it has impacted my life and it has given me kind of the foundation to want to, you know, go and create a Christmas family oriented show that, you know, kind of in a world of a lot of division, it's nice to be able to, you know, unfortunately it doesn't happen as often as we'd all like, but it's nice to, during the holiday season, come together and create a family friendly show that everybody in the city can enjoy.
I agree. And by the way, B.E. Taylor's shows were incredibly popular. He did one at the holidays every year here here in the Butler area. B.E. Taylor died, was it a couple of years ago?
Yes, it was.
Couple of years. Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
I didn't. I really wish I think I did meet him once and it was through a friend that I was able to meet him, but it was, you know, hey, how are you sort of meeting. It wasn't, I didn't have a lot of time to actually get to know him or talk to him. But
nice to see you. I'm a big fan. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. I was definitely the fan. It would have been great to get to meet him just let him know the impact he's had on my life. But, it's, again, what birthed me wanting to do this Christmas show. And it's kind of my way of trying to do just a tiny sliver of what he did for this city, trying to just create a family-friendly show that everyone can enjoy during the holiday season.
Chris Jameson, our guest, I only had a chance to really say hello to Chris for a few seconds before we started this interview here. Your family lived in the North Hills, but did you say you were originally from the Butler area?
Yeah, both my parents are from the Butler area. A lot of, if not all of our family lives in the Butler area, or, you know, has moved away or whatever, but both my grandparents live in the Butler area still. We were just here for Thanksgiving. I frequent Butler very often, and it's a beautiful kind of community. And one, actually, the church that I work at, Orchard Hill Church, they just opened a location up here in Butler too, so I come up here for that and lead worship at those services. And it's just great to kind of be around where your family all grew up and everything and continue on that path.
Boy, that's for sure. Chris Jameson, two shows scheduled later this week at the Strand Theater in Zelianople, this Thursday and Friday evenings, 7 o'clock on Thursday, 7:30 on Friday.
Correct.
That's the weekend, so you can start a little bit later. The show is called Christmas with Chris. Let's talk a little bit about your career. You said you were on The Voice, the NBC reality TV singing competition 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You don't look old enough to have been on The Voice 5 years ago. You must have still been in grade school then.
Yeah, right. No, I was 19, so I wasn't. I actually left my I finished my sophomore year of college, and during my sophomore year, I was auditioning for The Voice. So that whole process from the very first audition all the way until the first episode aired was about a year long, and then the show ended, would have been in December. It aired in October or September. So it was, as a young kid, I mean, I'm still a young kid. I always feel like, I don't want to say I'm not a young kid.
But you are a young kid.
Yeah, as an even younger kid, it was a pretty crazy experience. I'm also, it's me and then I'm a triplet. So it's me and I have two sisters that make up kind of the triplet bunch. And then I have a little sister who's younger than us and an older brother who's older.
Wonderful.
So we were always kind of out and about and doing different events and going to different sporting events. And I'm just blessed to have had the opportunity to pursue the music stuff. So,
did you start singing at a very early age?
Yeah, I did a lot of performing groups in the city here. So like the Pittsburgh CLO Mini Stars. I took classes at the Pittsburgh CLO as well. I also did a group called the North Star Kids.
Yes. I've saw those several times, actually.
Yep. So that's kind of where I started being able to develop kind of my music. But it wasn't until I went to college in Columbus, Ohio, at Capital University, where I began to kind of play out at bars and restaurants, began to write a lot more music, had some exposure to the recording studios they had on campus in the music department, and really started kind of going that route as far as figuring out my own sound and, you know, what I wanted to say as a musician. And then The Voice kind of happened in the middle of that, and after that, it kind of you kind of felt like you went from 0 to 100 very, very quickly. So there was a lot when I came back to Pittsburgh, because I'd spent so much time in Ohio, I hadn't been didn't know as much of the music scene here in Pittsburgh, didn't know a lot of the players. And the past 5 years have just been me kind of getting acclimated to the city and meeting all of the incredibly talented musicians that make up the city. And for me, too, Pittsburgh's been home my whole entire life, and I don't plan on it not being my home. My wife and I are expecting our first kid in April. And so for me, creating that very solid like home foundation is important from a family perspective as well. So I wanted to make sure I did that and was able to continue, though, pursuing music and pursuing my passion and all that stuff, you know, right here from Pittsburgh.
So it was when you were in college in Columbus that you first started to realize maybe you could make music your career, your profession?
Yeah, but even then I didn't expect to – I didn't think that I could make it my career. I ended up changing my major halfway I only spent 2 years, though, but my second year I changed it to business marketing. I thought, okay, I'm going to – go and get a job 9 to 5, and then I'll play at bars and restaurants on the weekend. I never assumed that I could actually do it as a career.
And then came The Voice.
And then came The Voice, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I got something here. Maybe I can.
Now, you were on The Voice. There are teams, right?
Yes.
Whose team were you on?
Some Adam Levine's team. He's the lead singer of Maroon 5.
Yeah. So did that open up any doors for you, appearance on The Voice?
Oh yeah. I mean, lots. Different show opportunities and got to travel to a bunch of different places and sing and stuff like that. And I think for me it gave me a very good taste of what that kind of like life, music industry, entertainment business life is like. And just personally too, I enjoyed my time there and I'm very grateful for it, but I realized that I wanted to be at home. I wanted to figure out a way to make this work from being around family and being able to not be traveling all the time and all that stuff. So,
is The Voice done live?
Yeah. So, the first few episodes are pre-taped in the summer. Then the show, my season went live in September. Not live. My season aired in September, and then we went live at the beginning of November. And then, you know, you're there for as long as you make it on the show. So
where is it produced? New York, L.A.?
L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah, Universal Studios.
So you were out there, huh?
Yes, I was.
Must have been a real thrill.
Yeah, it was a thrill. It was also weird. I'd never been to L.A., so I was there, about 19-year-old kid by myself out there trying to not only get acclimated to that city because it's like a culturally, it's much bigger and just different than Pittsburgh. So trying to get acclimated there, but then also trying to wrap my head around the fact that I'm on a nationally televised show.
I can't imagine the feeling that you must have live on TV, because one of the, and you would know this as a singer, if you're nervous, if you're extremely anxious and nervous, one of the first places that it shows up is in your voice, whether you're talking or singing.
Yeah.
And if I'm getting ready to be live on NBC on The Voice, I don't know whether I'd be able to speak at all, let alone sing. Did you go through that sort of anxiety?
Yes. Yeah. And I think, I mean, honestly, a lot of the stuff that I did, because that anxiety, the nervousness never goes away. And it doesn't, even when I was younger, it was very present. I remember being outside before a talent show I did, and I was singing and playing piano. And I was, I don't know what grade I was in, maybe fifth or sixth grade, and I was so nervous walking, pacing around in the parking lot, not wanting to go in and do it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom pushed me to go in and do it. I'm grateful that she did. But that whole, that nervousness, it continued on. It just kind of took different forms. And I think at first it was very present in my voice. It would be shaky. I would feel like I didn't have as much control over my voice as I wanted to. And as a singer, you kind of need to have, you kind of need to have control of your instrument. So that was a tough thing, but I do think the nerves kind of just, they don't go away, but they just, they end up going to different, you learn how to segment them away from your voice. I don't know, it's a weird thing. But yeah, it was, I tried to perform to the people. They always said when on the show, perform to the room, who's ever in the room. And the studio only could hold like 300 people. So it wasn't an incredibly overwhelming space.
So that's what you thought about, huh?
Not that there wasn't 70,000 cameras around you and constantly flying in your face, which is overwhelming. But nonetheless, perform to the people in the room and then, you know, don't think about the millions of people watching.
You signed a contract after your appearance on The Voice with Pittsburgh-based The Vault Records.
Yep.
And what was your debut?
Yeah, so we put out an album, our EP, called Puzzle Pieces in last July. And again, it was really just me trying to find a space in Pittsburgh where I could further putting out my own music. I could continue to develop. I mean, I always describe it, too, as I went on this show, The Voice, and I came off of it, but I was essentially on a TV show where we sang, like, karaoke on steroids. So it's not like I really had no experience creating my own music, writing my own music. And so while in the public's eye I may have had all the success on the show, I wasn't really a musical artist yet because I was young and just I didn't expect to ever have this be a career. So it's taken me some time to kind of figure out what that looks like for me, because I think everybody has a different definition of what their success is. And some people will say, you know, you got to be traveling the world and playing arenas and that's success. Others will say, no, I mean, I'm content playing wherever I can that's locally and whatever. And it's different people have different levels of success. But for me, it's been about defining, okay, what does that mean for me? What do I want this to look like? And then, you know, what do I want my family to look like, too, amidst all of it? Because I don't ever want them to feel like, oh, I'm just going to go along for the ride with Chris. And, you know, we got to do what Chris wants to do because he's doing all this traveling and all this different stuff. So it's been finding that label in Pittsburgh has allowed me to kind of, again, just establish more of those roots and do music from home.
We have a few more minutes left with Chris. I'm holding in my hand here a CD, A Classic Christmas with Chris Jameson. I have to take a quick break. Would it be okay if we played a cut from
of
your
course.
CD
That'd be great.
When we come back? So stick around. Just a few more minutes to chat with Chris here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
When it's time to choose a funeral home, there are many things to consider. The facility itself, does it provide the atmosphere that the occasion requires? Are they people I can comfortably talk with about the kind of services I need? Is the cost within my budget? Should we consider cremation? There are so many questions. Let Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler help you with some answers. After all, Thompson Miller has been serving the Butler community since 1927. The same family has been serving Butler for 92 years. They are in many ways truly a part of our community. Thompson Miller provides complete services with dignity in the funeral home, at gravesite, and for entombment. Thompson Miller will help you through the process with advice, counsel, experience, and compassion. Call us and we'll help you make these important and sensitive decisions. 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit us online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Oh, baby, hey, oh, yeah, it's gonna be. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. As I look around, your eyes are shining. Tell me, do oh, this Christmas, the fireside is blazing, it's blazing bright, and we can't believe through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
Nice to hear that piece. That's the first cut, actually, on Chris's classic Christmas with Chris Jameson CD, This Christmas. Is this available for purchase?
Yep. Yeah, you can find that anywhere you get music online, all the different stores, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, whatever. You can find that along with the project we released in July called Puzzle Pieces, and then my first EP I released after coming off the show called I Am Chris Jameson.
That's the recording industry has changed so much over the past 10 or 15 years now. So much of it is online based these days with streaming and so on and so forth. Do you think that makes it easier or harder to get established as a newcomer in the business?
I just think it makes it different. Whether that's better or for worse, you don't make tons of music. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't make tons of money selling your music. And so that in that respect, it has changed. You don't see a lot of people selling their CDs in stores anymore because a lot of it is transferred to online. But I think it's also created a lot of opportunity for people too, because you know, I'm able to, even from being on The Voice and seeing the reach that show had, not just within the United States but outside of the United States as well. I mean, I, you know, because of social media and because of technology and the digital kind of age, I'm able to, I have people from the Philippines reach out to me and say, hey, I love your music. And that just would not have, a kid from Pittsburgh would have never had that opportunity had that reach not been, you know, available and whatnot. So in that respect, it's created a lot of opportunity, but also too, just like anything, when you take something, good things can become bad things depending on how you, you know, use them. So,
and you don't have to depend on trying to convince DJs at radio stations
across
the country to play your stuff, because you don't really need that anymore. You say you're affiliated with a church?
Yeah, so I work full-time at Orchard Hill Church right next to Sorgles, and it is been a great community for my wife and I, huge blessing to our family to be able to be a part of a community, a church like that. They actually do 15 Christmas Eve services around the holiday season as well. So I work on this show, and this my Christmas with Chris show has always been very important, but equally important to that has been being a part of these 15 Christmas Eve services and seeing the thousands of people that come through. And again, it's just another one of those opportunities to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, to get everyone in the same building and just, you know, be together and celebrate this holiday that we've all grown to love.
You're involved in music ministry with the church, right?
Yeah.
Chris has two shows coming up later this week, Thursday and Friday of this week, at the Strand Theater in Zeelianopel. And we'll go over the ticket information on that in just a moment or so. One final question for you. You are also a songwriter in addition to a performer. I have a great bias, a favorable bias towards singer-songwriters. Okay. I love to listen to a singer-songwriter perform their works.
Mm-hmm.
I figure, you know, if I'm listening to Joni Mitchell do the Circle Game, or Tom Paxton or Tom Rice or James Taylor, some of my favorite singer-songwriters, they're performing the tune the way that it should be.
You
know, they wrote it after all.
Yeah.
So have you had much success, or have you been very prolific in turning out songs of your own?
I feel like it's been a learning experience for me.
I can't imagine how you could do. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well,
to be honest,
well, and that's the thing is, you know, everyone's kind of got their own way of going about the creative process. I think it's different for every single person. For me, I'm not someone that can, you know, some people will say you have to sit down and write a song every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit down and write a song every day. I'm a very creative person, but I'm also a very like type A, analytical. Everything has to, you know, fit in a spreadsheet kind of guy. And so I have to kind of have that part of my life as much as I have the creative part of my life. And so usually it just comes in kind of waves where I'll sit down, I'll write something, whether it's the whole song or not. And then, you know, I try not to put any pressure on myself. It seems to, when I put pressure on myself, I end up kind of closing up and not being able to think about, okay, what do I want to write, or what do I want to say, and how do I want to say it? Because you can also get into the loop of just saying the same thing over and over again, and, you know, you don't want to do that. But I also want to make sure I create music that isn't just, that's kind of like a storytelling of my own life and my own experiences. I don't want it to be stuff that people can't relate to. I want it to be stuff that people can relate to. And so it's whether it's not, you know, whether it's me sharing a bunch of my different struggles that I have, or different things that are going on in life. We're having my wife and I are having a baby in April, so I'm sure that will create a lot of opportunities for me to write songs, and that whole dynamic and how that affects our family and stuff like that. So for me, it's just as long as I'm writing from a personal standpoint, writing about my life, the things that I see, the way that, you know, I see things. Not everyone's going to agree with it, but it's kind of my outlet, or an outlet that I've been given to be able to share my thoughts on different things.
Chris Jameson, his parents, Michelle and Brian, right?
Yeah.
Some of you listeners may know them.
Yeah.
After all, they were originally from the Butler area. Family has lived in the North Hills for some time now. Are your triplet sisters, are they also musically inclined? Is your whole family musically inclined?
No, so they all love music. But my one sister is a great singer. She doesn't like to perform in front of people, though, which is kind of a big part of that whole process. So,
hey, Barbara Streisand was that way, for she never performed live.
Well, then my sister still has a chance then, I guess. But she's great. Her voice is great, but she doesn't enjoy being on stage as much. And my other sister is very athletic and has been very successful in athletic endeavors. So she's got that gene. I got the music one, and my one sister kind of has both.
As we wrap up our chat with Chris Jameson, once again, information on your shows coming up later this week at the Strand.
Thursday and Friday, December 5th and 6th, the Strand Theater. You can get tickets on their website. Friday is, if it's not sold out, it's very close to selling out, but Thursday there's a handful of tickets left. So I'd love to celebrate the holiday season with as many people as possible and hope to create a Christmas show that can become a part of, you know, a family tradition for some.
More ticket information at thestrandtheater.org. That's their website. Chris Jameson, nice to meet you. Delightful
you
to
as well.
Chat with you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite